hard to speak in front of holy people in a holy place like this, overlooking all that we dream of and all that we're waiting for. I'm very uncomfortable that Mari Virabi is sitting here and that I'm causing him to use up time. I'm very honored, and we're all honored by Harabuso Shlita being here. And that his presence itself is a big bracha for each and every one of us. Shibzaichim es Hashem for gezunt and nachis and bracha v'atzlocha is 120 kilometers. And Reb Nosson, Reb Yoel, and Chaim David, Shlomo, and all my chaverim, and the chaver from the shul. It's very hard to gather my thoughts. We're coming from Baditchev, coming from Mezhbiz, from Uman, from Breslov. And I still very much, and all of us that have taken this journey together, are very much in this hashra of the tzaddikim. You know that the Maholi Lachavitcha, Schusi Yelainu, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Bahaloischa, when the Lechavitcher used to go to the mikveh every year by Parshas Bahaloischa, Erev Shabbos, he would go with the klezemer. He would go with Shlomo and Chaim David. That's how he would go to the mikveh. Only Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Bahaloischa. And every year he would have the mezamrim, he would have them come, and he would walk down the street, and they would be playing the violin and music and singing, and he would come to the mikveh. They would wait for him. He would toivel, and then he would come out, and they would accompany him back home with the klezamer. And they asked. Finally, they asked the lechavitcher, why davke Erev Shabbos, Parshas Bahaloischa. There are a lot of beautiful parashiyos and beautiful Shabboses and Yom Tovim. So the Lechavitcher said, because in Parshas Bahaloischa, they are the most precious words to him in the entire Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yisrael, Ki Hashem diber, what? Hashem diber toiv al Yisrael. Ki Hashem diber toiv al Yisrael. And the Lechavitcher said that those words, Ki Hashem diber toiv al Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says good things about his people. And it doesn't only mean Am Yisrael as a nation. Ki Hashem diber toiv al kol echad ve'echad mi Yisrael. Each and every one of you and myself. Ki Hashem diber toiv al Yisrael. If we just think of those words, we would also take out the violin and the harp and the flute. Ki Hashem diber toiv al Yisrael. I understand from this that the Ikar Avayda now is l'daber toiv al Yisrael. All the tzaddikim did, and all they wanted, was ladabet tov al Yisrael. But sometimes it's hard, because sometimes you see a person, could be a friend, could be a husband, a wife, could even be a rebbe, could even be an Adam Godel, and you have kashas. There are questions that you have, unresolved questions that you carry with you. Psychologists make a lot of money because of the union between parents and children. The sugya of a parent and a child is a very deep sugya. A child has kashas on his father, on his mother. They're kashas. So if I close my eyes for a second, I'm still an Uman. And there was a big tzaddik there in that place. When the second chelik of Likutei Moran, Torah Nun Beis, says the following. Mashakosha kushi yisrael ha-tzadikim. That there are kashas that one has on tzadikim. Zehu muchrach liyois. Rabbi Nachman says, it must be. Before, when I said that we have kashas, parents, children, husbands, wives, friends, even tzaddikim, the truth is that people have kashas on the Eibishter himself, things that they don't understand. And if there are things that the tzaddik does that we don't understand, there are infinitely more things about Hashem Yisbarach that we don't understand. And many, many, many people walk around their entire lives brokenhearted because of the kashas that they have, the questions that they have. And sometimes a person is so broken that, like Rabbi was saying, he even Chalila gives a kick, a little bit of a kick, because of the kashas that he has. Tzadik Hashem b'chol drachav. That means that the Ikka Ha'amun is that we believe, each and every one of us believes that Hashem is the Tzaddik Leila, Hashem is the Tzaddik. But we only see things from the outside. We don't know what's in Hashem's heart. The tzaddikim say that if you and I would have even the slightest, tiniest little musak of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is overflowing with love for even Hashem Yerachim, even the biggest Parishi Yisrael, more than it's possible for a father to love his only child. And how each and every one of us is a ben yochid mamish by the Bar Yoel. But the problem is that we don't see what Hashem is feeling, what He's thinking. And the teva of a person is to be nispoil from the chitzainis. How many times has it happened to you and to me that there's somebody that you love and there's a misunderstanding, and because of that things become very, very broken between the two, And then somehow, in some way, they're brought to a conversation. And one says, that's what you were thinking? That's what I was thinking. That's what you were feeling? Really, that's what you were feeling? That's what I was feeling. But the chitzoni is on the outside that we don't see this. In another place, in Likud Moran, Rabbi Nachman says that there are Jews who are Jews of Shir HaShir. You know what that means? It means that in Shir HaShirim, everybody talks about, and everybody knows how in Megillas Esther, we don't have a Shem Kodesh in Megillas Esther. We don't have the Shem HaShem in Megillas Esther. And everybody talks about how all the Torah of Purim is about Haster Aster, and Hashem's name is hidden. When it comes to Purim, we don't see in Megillas Esther. But you know that in Shir HaShirim, there's no Shem Kodesh either. We don't see Hashem's name in Shir HaShirim. And Rabbi Nachman says there are some Jews. There are Jews of Shir HaShirim. Some of the greatest people, the greatest tzaddikim of the world. Sometimes it's the tzaddik that you're raising in your own home. Sometimes it's the wife that you were under the chuppah with, and the years have caused you to forget. The same way in Shir HaShirim, there's an unbelievable song that's being sung. But you don't see the Shem HaShem. You don't really see what the person is thinking, what the person is feeling. On the outside, you don't hear necessarily the Shem HaShem. There are people whom on the outside you don't see Kedusha. But you know that Rabbi Akiva said that Shir HaShirim is not just Kodesh. What did Rabbi Akiva say? It's Kodesh Kedusha. They're very quiet and they're very hidden. Rabbi Nachman used to say, Adrabe, that there are kashas on Hashem. Kach roi lios daika. Kach roi lios. She kushis al Hashem is bar. Kach noa viofel is bar. Lefig dulosa ivir amamusa. Lefig dulosa ivir amamusa, because of his greatness. That because of his greatness, his unfathomable greatness, Rabbi Nachman says, "Nor the Yofleis Baruch Lefig Dulosi Ramuso Kim Yoitzing Dulosi Ramuso Shuhum Beruma Ma'oid Midatenu." He's beyond our understanding. Al Kain Bevadei Iev Shoshenovin Venasik Besechleinu Hanagosi Baruch. Because he's so great, he's so hidden. And it's impossible for a human being to understand him. And there are Jews who are very, very, very great. And sometimes it's the person that's next to you. And it's loved after the person that chuckles a lot by davening, or the person that's screaming and howling, you know, by a tikkun chatzos or something. Loved after. Although those people are great too. But it's lav davka. The tzaddikim say in the pasuk, "Vayehav Hamelach es Esther mikol anoshim." The tzaddikim say, "Vayehav Hamelach." The Rosh Hashanah loves as Esther. Those Jews who are hidden mikol hanoshim, from all of the nation. The Jews who are so hidden, the Shir HaShirim yin. "Vayehav Hamelach es Esther mikol hanoshim." Amach kulam tzaddikim. So I don't believe that it's a very big jump to say that when Rabbi Nachman says that there are kashis on tzaddikim and muchrach liyos, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is muchrach liyos because of his greatness and because of the tzaddikim and their greatness, so amach kulam tzaddikim, that there's something about each and every person in our lives that we're just missing. We're not seeing, we're not getting, we're not understanding. Doesn't mean that everybody is free to go on living any way he wants, chalila, and it doesn't mean we don't have to do tshuva, and it doesn't mean that we don't have an achrayis to try to teach other Jews and our children. You all heard of the Balatanya, Islam, right? When when the Bala Tanya was a young man, I don't know if this is before he was by the Mizrach HaMagid or after he was already by the Mizrach HaMagid, I don't know. But they were very, very poor. And the panosa that the Alter Rebbe made was by learning with young Iluyim. You know that Baal Tanya was an Ilui Mufla, and he would learn with some big Iluyim, Bacher. He would learn with them individually, privately. Now, the Alter Rebbe was poor, and most of his customers were also very poor. But there was one who came from a well-to-do family. And because of that, we could understand why the Rebbetzin would always give him a little bit extra Shalom Aleichem when he came. And the Rebbetzin would always give him a little bit to make him a Zionist. But one time she had a treat for this Bacher that she never ever gave to anybody else. It was Erev Shabbos. It was Erev Shabbos, and the Alter Rebbe had already been to the mikveh. Now there was a tall ceiling, a very high ceiling, and a wall that divided between one part of where they lived and about the Baal Tanya, where the Alter Rebbe used to learn and daven, whatever. And all the way on top, there was a tiny, tiny little window. And it was Erev Shabbos after the mikveh, and the Alter Rebbe's Rebbetzin said to this Bacher, "Come, today I'm going to give you mamash a treat." And she brought over a ladder over there, and she said, "Go up to that little window and take a look, and you'll see something, what a Jew is." So the Bacher, he thought this is a... He knew his Rebbe was a Talmud Chacham, but he thought he is a regular Talmud Chacham. So the Bacher goes up on top and he looks through the window and he sees the Baal Tanya running around the room. The Baal Tanya is calling out, "Mashcheni acherecha narutzu. Mashcheni acherecha narutzu." He's saying Shir Hashirim. Rebbeinu Shalom nemech tzedir. Rebbeinu Shalom bregmech tzedir. Rebbeinu Shalom take me to you. Mashcheni acherecha narutzu. Rebbeinu Shalom bring me to you. And he had no idea that this was such... He had no idea that this was such a tzaddik. He thought he was just a talented melamed. And he came down and he was shaking, and the Rebbetzin said, "Come back Motzei Shabbos, there's a second part to this. Come back Motzei Shabbos." So he came right back after Shabbos, he came. And the Tanya was locked in that room. And he didn't know anybody was there. The Tanya was locked in the room. And the Bacher looks into the window, and he sees the Alter Rebbe is on the floor, lying on the floor, and he's screaming, "Pashatati eskutanti, echochel bashana." Rebbeinu Shalom, I took off all of the clothing of... He's screaming then to explain, "Pashatati eskutanti, I took off all of the clothing of chol. I just lived Shabbos. Pashatati eskutanti, all the schmutz, all the filth, all the dirt, all the katness and silliness of the 6 days of the week, Pashatati eskutanti." And he starts to cry, "Echochel bashana. Now you want me to put on again the vachadike clothing? You want me to again come into the plainness and the smallness and the ugliness and the pettiness of the 6 days of the week? Rachatzti es raglai. I washed my feet. I washed my feet." It doesn't only mean in the shower, in the bath, in the mikveh. Vachatzti Yisraeli means all the hergelim, all of the habits of the 6 days of the week, all of the habits of life. Vachatzti Yisraeli. Many of the chevri here that you're here for a year in yeshiva. It's your second year in yeshiva. Just to pause for a moment at this place in the story. And I know that many of you are worried what it means to return to Chol. And it's a little bit scary. It's Havdalah time. You feel that something is happening between Kodesh and Chol. And there's a feeling of Pashatati Eskutanti. I finally took off the garments of all the silliness of growing up. Pashatati Eskutanti. I took off that garment already. And now I have to go back. I have to go back to the 6 days of the week. I have to go back to Chutz Laretz. I have to go back to the world that's not Shabbos. And there's a feeling of Eichecha El Bashana. And Rechatzti Yisraeli. Rechatzti Yisraeli, I already have tried so hard this past year or 2 years to wash off the filth. Hashem Yoachim, all the filth. Because now a person doesn't have to look far for filth. They're surrounded everywhere. And Rechatzti Yisraeli, Rabbi Shalom, I've washed away. I feel that I spent a year in yeshiva, 2 years in yeshiva. And I've tried so hard to wash away those hergelim, those habits that I had growing up. And I'm so afraid, Eichecha Atanfeim. I don't want to get dirty again. So this bacha was able to look through a little window. It was a mazel for him, because he was a favored disciple, a pupil, a Talmud, and the Rebbetzin wanted to do Mataiva. So he was allowed to look through a window and to see the otherwise unseen greatness of a great person. And this Bocher told this story over. That's how we know this story. And he said, when he was an old man, he told this story over a short time before he died, and he said, you should know that my entire Avodas Hashem, my entire life, was from this, what I saw through the little window, looking into the room of the Alter Rebbe, Erev Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos. Everything that I am and everything that I have. You know, what would it be like if a husband had a little window to see into his wife, who she really is? How many fights, how many arguments, and then how many times I'm sitting in a room, and that's nothing compared to the Rav Shlita, and people, husbands and wives, and they're both good people. Good people. The only problem is, she never saw him lying and screaming out, Bremich Tzedir. She never saw that. He doesn't know how to explain. He doesn't have a window that she can look into. And she also, he doesn't know how much she really cares for him. And she doesn't look, he doesn't have a window to see into who she really is, even though they're married for sometimes 30, 40 years. If you look in the parasha, there's so many kashas. Bnei Yisrael has kashas on Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Who could love Am Yisrael more than Moshe Rabbeinu? You'd think there'd be one person that wouldn't get caught up like in that whole inyan of tainas and tlunas, tviyas and kpedas. But when you look in the Torah, just and you read the Pshat and the Chumash, you could say anything you like, but the Pshat and the Chumash is that they had big kashas on Moshe Rabbeinu. hard enough to run a program for a week. We had Reb Yitzchak Mordechai and Sarah Vignon, you had the Chevra that were running just a program to keep a couple of Jews fed and happy for a week. This itself is nisei nisim to me. There haven't been, as far as I know, there were no violent outbreaks. No tainus, everybody's happy, everybody loves mamish, bahava. Moshe Rabbeinu, who's Yitzchak Mordechai is a very special person, but Moshe Rabbeinu is even more special. You'll be Moshe, I don't know where you are. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't zoche for that. Yidden mole tvius and kpeidus, again, and they're my dragon, not the Ramasik, they're great people. But great people have great tainus. And they have big kashas. We're talking about a whole nation. Not just one bus that's looking for some Doritos or something, right? We're already starting with the private jokes. Yeah. Moshe Benu loved Am Yisrael was his whole Metzias. He had nothing else in his life. He had only Am Yisrael. Mamish left his family. He left everything. He didn't have anything else, only us. The only one who's like that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has nothing except us. He has everything, but really, it's us. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu was. Aaron HaKohen. That kash is an Aaron HaKohen. You know, it was one thing when the Egel was happening, the Erev Rav, and whatever happened, but afterwards, you don't think Jews had kashas and Aaron HaKohen? They didn't have kashas? I had, 2 weeks ago, there was a bacher that was going through a hard time, and I was trying to help him, and I did my best, I thought, to try to help him to and I felt it was very, very important for him to be away from a certain person that was hurting him. And at the time, he was very grateful. And it's already 2 years later, and I got a phone call from him that he has tinnitus. He says that you shouldn't have. He had different. Now 2 years later, he has a different mahalach. It's very, very hard. The kashas that people have on each other. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Aaron and Miriam had kashas on Moshe Rabbeinu, Eishes Ish. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu, they had kashas. The man, and with the food, Bechlal, with Aaron HaKohen, everything Aaron did, everything was very, very nister, everything was very, very unusual and hidden and different. You know, I told a number of times in the shul over the years that years and years ago, when I was teaching in the high school in Ezra, so there was a class of girls that I taught in the afternoon, and the subject was Yahadis. I was teaching the girls Yud Gimli Karm. And this is a heartbreaking story, but it's important to hear it. I tried with this group. They were a difficult group of girls. 12th graders, they already had more than 2 feet out the door, you understand. And I was trying everything. Svasemis, Rav Dessler, Rabbi Nachman. I was trying everything with them. You know, like filing their nails, checking in the mirror, you know. But Kulai had over 9 months, almost all of them. We're already starting to listen. They were starting to listen. How long can a Jew remain cold? You know, to Kedushas Levi. How long can you stay cold to Kedushas Levi? He says that. Person melts. So the Oilam there, they had come a great way, and my wife was Makar of many of them. But there was one in particular, that she was still working on the nails. And, you know, it hurts your gaiva. It's not so important whether she's Shomer Mitzvahs. She's not listening, you know, it hurts the gaiva. And I'm not successful. And I tried a few times. I asked her, let's say I'll make up a name, let's say her name is Sarah. I said, Sarah, is everything okay? She wouldn't even answer me. She was like, roll her eyes. That's before rolling the eyes was a common thing to do. Now it's about her. But she was like from the early eye rollers. And nothing. I couldn't get a word. Nothing. It's already, school is going to end maybe in 2 weeks. And I remember I had this class of girls. I was with the boys. Some of the guys are here. I was with the boys. We were learning Gemara all day. But I had this girls class in the afternoon. And I'm in the hall, and she comes over to me, and she says, Rabbi, can I talk to you? Rabbi? She didn't even know to call me Rabbi. And can I talk to you? Of course. So we go someplace to talk. And please be moichel me, but this is what happened. To explain, it's hard to explain. She starts to lift up her sleeve. And I turn my head away, like any Jew that's Yerush Shemayim turns away. I thought she's crazy. And I start to get up from my chair. And she pulls her arm up. She says, don't worry, I'm not going to pull it up too high. And she shows me she has a welt. You know what it means, a welt? A marker. Not like this, a marker filled with blood. And she said, I can't show you what my back looks like, my whole body. And she starts to cry. She tells me that since she's 12 years old, her father and her brother are doing ma'isim with her. Hashem Yerachem, it's hard to believe that a Jew could do such a thing. And she's crying. And I just sit there and I start to cry. And then she says to me, you think I didn't hear when you spoke about Rav Dessler? You think I didn't hear the story that you said about Ramayshal Ipsasafer? She's saying things from September. You think I didn't hear? You think I didn't? You think I was? She says, listen, Rabbi. She says, I heard every word you said, but I can't listen to it because I'm so disgusting and I'm so filthy and Hashem is so disgusted with me that I can't listen to these words because all you ever talk about is holy and pure and be holy and I'm the lowest person in the world. And I said, that's not true. You're the holiest person I ever met. You're the holiest person I ever met in my life. And she's crying. And then she tells me she tries to keep Shabbos and they beat her. And I said, why don't you ever tell me? She said, I'm too embarrassed because I'm so low. We're able to get her help, and oh Hashem. She lives not far from here. She has a family, oh Hashem. It was many, many years of therapy and scary things and threats. But I came home and I said to my wife, I had her so wrong. I thought that she was like, anybody speaks Farsi over here? Yeah? Kalepuk? You know what that means in Farsi? Translate what it means.
No brain.
Empty head. An airhead in Persian, it's called Kalepuk. I thought that she was empty. She was empty. The big Talmud Chacham, the big Tzaddik, I thought she was empty. She's getting beaten every time she keeps Shabbos. I didn't have a window. I didn't have a window, and I didn't see that she's screaming. Rachatzti esraglai. Pashatati skutanti. That she wanted to be better. So, Chefa, I'm sorry, no, it's late. I'm going to start to come in for a landing. We're on a lot of planes, too. I'm going to start to come in for a landing. Many times we spoke about this over the years, that Chalayin, Ches Lamed Nun, the basic letters, Chalayin, without the Vav, Chalayin is Nafshenu Chiksel Hashem. Nafshenu Chiksel Hashem. Listen to what it says in the Yalkut. It says in Pasuk Vanan, in the parasha, Vanan Hashem Aleihem, Yoimam Ben Osem and Hamachna. The cloud of Hashem was upon them when they were traveling out from the camp. It says in the Yalkut, Afilo ala chigrim v'ala sumin v'ala zovim v'ala mitzaroi, that the cloud of Hashem was even upon those who were handicapped and blind and had all kinds of tumah, zovim and mitzaroim. In other words, the Shechin HaKadosha, the Shechina Kadosh was reaching out to these Jews like that girl and many others like her. The Shechina Kadosh is reaching out to try to bring every single one. Minayin Atoim, listen to the Lashon of the Yalkut. Minayin Atoim, Shim Hoya Echod Mi Yisrael Nimshach Mitachis Kanfei Omud Ha'onan. From where do we know that if one Jew was Nimshach Mitachas Kanfei Omud Ha'on and was lost his way in her way and was not able to be comfortable or was not able to be under the cloud, walked away from the cloud like that girl. Minayin ata oimer shim haya echad mi Yisrael Nimshach Mitachas Kanfei Omud Ha'on and Sha'omud Ha'on and Nimshach Imoy La'achrov Ad Shah Shechayzer. That the Amud Ha'anan used to go running after that. In other words, not only does a Jew like the Tanya say, not only does a Jew like the Tanya cry out and scream out, Rabbi Shalom, Nem Mechtsudir, and Breng Mechtsudir, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyochel is screaming out to each and every one of us, Yankele, Bera, Sarala, whatever it is, Nem Mechtsudir, I want to be with you. And the Yalkut says that the Anan would come after the person. Let me end and tell you a story. Because all we have to all the time trying to imagine if there was a little window to try to be done like Avschus and try to Geshem Diba Tovel Yisrael, he runs after with the Anan HaKovod, and we have to run after each and every Jew to reach out to bring under the Kanfei Shechina, to bring under the Anan HaKovod, to bring into our lives. I saw this in one of the Kuntresim Loch from one of the big mashpim, Rabbi Shemayim Morgenstern, Zolgozunzai. He says he knows this person, who the story is about. He said that there was a young Israeli, a young man, who was becoming a strong Baal Tshuva. He was very, very connected to Likutei Moran, Likutei Halachos. He was learning the best of his Sfarim a lot. He was deeply connected, and he was coming along beautifully. But the one thing that he felt was missing very much in his life, he was learning a lot from Rabbi Nachman. And Rabbi Nachman always talks about how you have to have a Rebbe, there has to be a tzaddik. You have to connect, you have to attach yourself to a tzaddik. And this Baal Tshuva had met different people, but he didn't meet the tzaddik that he was looking for. And he went to Meron, and he spent 3 days in Meron, crying his heart out, davening, that Hashem Yisboch should send him a tzaddik who will help him, somebody who would give him hadrocha to tell him what it means to be a Jew. And he was davening in Meron for 3 days, and he felt a little bit better from the tefillahs. And he was hoping that something would happen in his life. He didn't know what. In the meantime, he's going out from Meron, and he gets a phone call from his mother that he has to leave Eretz Yisrael immediately. Something happened. There was some legal issue that he was in trouble. I don't know what. Didn't say. But he was in very, very big trouble, and he had to leave Eretz Yisrael immediately. And he said, "What? Where am I going to go? Everybody lives in Eretz Yisrael, his family. He doesn't have anybody." So he just went to the airport, and he looks over and he sees that there's a plane going to London, and he figured out the cheshbon of the money that he's able to use, and he takes this plane to London. And he's sitting on the plane to London, and next to him there's an old Jew. And he takes out his little Lukutamaran like I have here. And he's trying to learn a little Mukutaran to forget about all of his tzaris. He's very, very worked up. He has a lot of agam snafish. Here he thought he's going to daven in Meron, and he's going to have a big yeshua, and now he's running away for his life. And he sees this old Jew sitting next to him, and the whole time this Altayid is learning Tanya. Okay, so it's an interesting little row. Could be worse, no? This one's with Lukut Amaran. This one's with Lukut Amaram. And the Baal Tshuva, please, Rabbi Ibn Moichlam, some
Kach Mulchai. That's okay. I'm enjoying everyone.
So the Baal Tshuva, you know, there's only so much he could read Lukut Amaran, this guy. So he turns over to the old man. He says, "Excuse me, what are you learning?" He says, "I'm learning Tanya." He says, "Oh, Tanya, maybe you could teach me a little bit Tanya. I never learned Tanya. Could you teach me a little bit Tanya?" So the Yid says, "Oh, sure. He learns with him some Tanya. Seder. And then to London's not so far. And they get to London. And this fellow comes out, doesn't speak a word of English. The Baal Tshuva doesn't speak a word of English. And he comes like without things, and he looked a little bit suspicious, and it could be that it had something with the computer, whatever it was. He was kept by the police for a few hours. For quite a few hours he was kept by the police over there in the airport. Baruch Hashem, they let him out, the police let him go. He walks out to the outside the airport. He doesn't know English, he doesn't know anybody here, he doesn't see a Jewish face, he doesn't know what he's gonna do. And all of a sudden, of course, what happens is some Chabatsky comes over to him. And this Chabatsky comes over and says, "Come over here into this car." So he says, "He's a Yid." He goes into the car. And who's sitting in the car? The old man from the airplane was waiting for him the whole time. He saw that they took him away. And he's waiting for him the whole time. Now, the name of this Yid, the old man, the Chabad Chosid with a little cap, his name is Reb Mendel Furtefas, Zechut Sadev Agarsh Lavroch. Reb Mendel Furtefas was a shtik mesirus nefesh. He was from the old Mashpiyim and Chabad, a tzaddik and a kodesh. This Reb Mendel Furtefas. He was waiting all the time for this Yid to see what would happen. And he waited with the car with the bocher. And this Yid, Richard Morgan said that the Yid told him the Ma'aseh. The Yid comes into the car And he looks to him and he says, that's like my chavrusa from the airplane. So he said, my name is Mendel Fortefas. So the Baal Tshuva asked him, why did you wait for me? You don't even know me. He said, because I got a phone call from the office that the Lubavitcher Rebbe in New York called. And Lubavitcher Rebbe told me to take a certain flight number immediately to leave Kfar Chabad and to go to the airport and take that flight to London with a flight number. They took him in, you understand? I don't know if he kept on learning Lugut Maran. I don't know. But they took him in, and Rabbi Shemaya said he became a big Talmud Chacham in Chabad. He didn't say the name. Hear the long arms of the Tzaddik, the big eyes of the Tzaddik, Hashem Diba Toiva Yisrael, to see a Jew that's broken, that's lost, and to bring him back under the Shechina, to bring him into the Anane HaKavod, to bring him back. Hashem Diba Toiva Yisrael, and all he wants is that we should be also Medabrim Toiva Yisrael, that we should also see good in others. That we should try to have Ein Hashem al Tzadikim, that we should try to have the eyes of the Tzadik. We're not Tzadikim, but we should try to have the eyes of the Tzadik. To try to see good. And even if we can't see the good, to imagine that there's a window and that we're looking in. And that this person has a life that's so deep and so mysterious. Mamish aside. Every Jew is aside. And in that schluss, each and every one of us will be Zaycha when we step out of the airport, that there'll be a car that will be sent to us by a Tzadik. And when we get into the car, somebody's going to say, Shalom Aleichem, Ches Mashiach Ben David. And we're going back to Yerushalayim, because the time has come, Shnas Gulai Ba, the time of the Gula has come, Shabib Mehem Yamein Amen.
Amen. Yom 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 Yom